All right, we are here. Welcome. We are Galexis. And before we begin, we have created for you, for your benefit, a vortex of energy. You at the center. It's spinning, swirling about you, moving out into your world, above you and below you, like a column of light. The center extends. This vortex has two purposes that we like to use and provide for you. One is that at any time that you choose, and sometimes we will even suggest a time for it, you can release anything you do not wish to keep, mentally, emotionally, even physically. You can mentally intend to release it from your still point at the center into the spinning. The spinning close to you is slower, and as it moves out, it goes faster and faster. And it is spun away from you. It is, in a sense, it creates such a fast release that it kind of sucks it out of you, spins it out of you. So the vortex can be used for cleansing. Even if you listen to this only on sound file, this vortex is active and prepared and ready for you. Then the second use of the vortex is to broadcast your intentions, your choices, and that which you wish to manifest into your world. And again, it is your intention that makes the difference. I choose this, I desire this, I request this. And you can put that image out into your world. And the vortex will broadcast it, send it right out into your world. It's important, however, when you send your intention out, your positive intention for manifestation, that you let it go. Don't keep thinking about it. When you send it out to the vortex, just let it go, as if it never was, for just a little while, because every time you send it out, it kind of pulls in you and kind of pulls it out to send to your reality. And if you're holding on to it, you don't get it to broadcast as well. Just a little tip we've noticed. Some things, and so we wanted to share. All right, so with that in mind, knowing that you have the potential for a tremendous amount of healing this very day, we're going to talk about a topic that is probably for many people what you might say a sticky wicket, a kind of an obstacle on their journey. Now, we've talked about many resistances and many obstacles in the past, but we haven't focused on belief. It's been part of a group of things, but we want to focus on the nature of belief, how it determines and predetermines your reality, how you create it and keep creating it. How you reinforce limiting beliefs, and how you can free yourself from them. Now, belief is a threshold. It's a boundary. You see, when you come into physical manifestation, you have to have some boundaries. One of the most important boundaries is your self-image. It gives you a sense of your identity, a sense of yourself, a sense of you as distinct from others. Because when you're here in the physical plane, you cannot really truly function, at least in the beginning, in the oneness. You cannot go through your life saying we're all one, or you would not have chosen to come here to learn creation from scratch. You would not have created the whole concept of separation to begin with. So you came here to work to distill yourself, to know the spark of light that you are. And then from there, totally secure and aligned to your divine nature, you can then embrace the oneness without losing your power, without losing your freedom, without losing your complete unconditional lovingness. So self-image has been a boundary, and we've talked about it many times. A lot of ways to increase your reality is to expand your self-image. Belief is also a boundary, and it functions much the same way. You're given beliefs from others, from your parents, from your family, from older siblings, from kids on the playground, from teachers and authority figures that you come across, through religion, through education. You're given beliefs. Now, these beliefs give you boundaries to work with. You cannot work without them, so you need them. The problem happens only when you decide that you need to grow. You need to become more. You need to expand your self-image. You need to expand your awareness of yourself. You want to love more. You want to experience more. You want to be happier. And all of a sudden you'll notice that it's tremendous resistance in your reality. Somehow or another, it's kind of hard to push yourself free to sustain a greater freedom. You feel caught in a box. You get stuck in a limiting pattern that keeps repeating itself in a myriad of ways, looking a bit different, but turning out the same. And sometimes you feel like you keep ending up back where you started. You don't, but it's a perception. It is limiting beliefs that are there. Now, when you first put a belief on, it's not necessarily limiting. It's only limiting when you decide to grow, to become more, to expand yourself in some way. Since one of the dynamics of human life is to expand yourself, is to know more of who you are, is to embrace a greater you. It's natural to you to want to do that. It's natural to the human condition to learn and grow. You're going to come up against beliefs that originally didn't limit you at all, but all of a sudden now, as you grow, become walls, seem to be impenetrable, impermeable walls. Something stops you. And you can't get past a certain point. You can't create a reality past a certain place. You can't take a relationship beyond a certain place. There's somehow stops you. When this happens, most likely you've come up against a belief. Now, the danger of beliefs is that because they were given to you as truth, when you were a child, you assume that beliefs are truth. That's the way you were trained to believe. And everything that you saw in your life was filtered through this belief that was given to you. If the belief was a racist belief, anti-Semitic belief, financially limiting belief, a belief about people in general, a belief from your mother about men in general, all these kinds of prejudicial beliefs, only that which fits with the belief do you initially see, because you think, oh, well, if they say it, it must be true, and you try it on. You take it on. And later on, when you realize, they might not be true. You find it's really hard to take it off. You still will find yourself feeling uncomfortable about said group of people. Always suspicious, perhaps. Feeling a little insecure or uncomfortable around them. And that's a response to the belief. And you know that beliefs are extremely important. After all, the history of the human race is filled with examples. The history of your family, filled with examples. The history of your community, of your nationality, your country, filled with tremendous examples of people who have died defending the rightness or trueness of a belief against someone else's. A competition. My belief is true and yours is false. Therefore, we'll fight over it, and because my belief is true, I will win, and I will make you believe what I do. And when you believe what I do, then we will have peace. And that's a whole background and concept of using war to create peace. We will be right, and then you will figure out, oh my gosh, I'm wrong. Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me believe whatever you want us to believe. The victor rewrites history, rewrites the history books. We were right. They were wrong. They lost. We won. So tremendous charge and importance is put on beliefs if people are willing to die for them. Beliefs about God. Beliefs about spirit and soul can get anchored into your conscious mind initially, settling down into your subconscious mind where you have your habits, patterns, rituals, routines, and from there dropping and sinking down and establishing itself in your unconscious mind. The unconscious mind is the part of you that actually does reality creation. Your conscious mind is the one who makes the choice of what reality creation you prefer, the one who can choose the boundaries, choose the beliefs. But it's the unconscious mind that executes the physical plane. Anything that comes to you in the physical plane, be it as benign as a new friend or an opportunity or as difficult or painful as a tragic accident or circumstance, all comes through the unconscious mind based on beliefs. So it's really important to be able to change beliefs at will. And in order to do that, you first have to recognize how beliefs are created and stop creating more limiting beliefs. Start creating more expansive beliefs. You see, beliefs as a boundary can become a tremendous limit. And once it becomes a limitation, you lose your freedom. You're stuck within the belief. There has been belief for centuries that women are inferior and not intelligent enough. They should not have a career. They should be barefoot and pregnant. They're here only to help men. There was even a belief that the woman did not contribute to the child, only carried the man's seed. She didn't contribute anything. She was just the repository for his seed. These are beliefs. And the culture that you are born in reinforces these beliefs until it appears to be evident. It's absolutely evident. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy for your culture and for every individual in it. It's what you believe becomes obvious and evident. Of course, that's what's true. Because look, you know, women are not getting advanced degrees. Women are not taking a powerful place in society. Look, they're supporting their men. They're back at home and barefoot with the children. Totally ignoring the fact that they were not allowed or encouraged to follow their own dreams. So beliefs come with a whole bunch of filters on it. A belief has a whole bunch of conditions that are attached to it. The context, you might say, to the belief. And it creates, when we see a belief in a person's energy field, it creates kind of a blanket, like a cloud or a blanket that kind of goes around a person, doesn't really seal them that much. It is permeable. They may not perceive it as such, but it does have a tendency to kind of wet blanket, quote unquote, whatever that person wishes to experience. Wherever that person wishes to go, there's this kind of grayish, kind of sluggish, energetic blanket that kind of hovers over them. It says, here's your limit. You have to live within this limit, within this box, within this space. Now, some people have a lot of headaches when they grow, when they expand themselves. And often this is because, in a way, their crown chakra, like their top of their head, like they're growing bigger and bigger, bang, it hits their limit. And some of you hit that limit, bang, 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 and it feels like a headache. Now, you can expand your self-image. Very often that'll take care of it. You can shift a belief, and that'll take care of it too. But there always will come a time where you have to, you must, you are motivated, you desire more in your life. You desire more love, you desire more money, you desire more success, you desire more happiness, you desire more health, you desire more energy, you desire more power. You're always going to hit whatever the limiting belief is. Now, there's nothing wrong with those beliefs in a sense. You have to try them on when you're a child. You chose your parents deliberately. You chose them because of their beliefs. Hey, look, those beliefs that my parents-to-be are going to have are going to bring me my issues in life, my themes of development, the area that I want to explore and I want to change. And I want to heal specifically for me and gift this healing to my whole culture, to my world. And you think this way before you come down into physical manifestation. So in a sense, you choose to step into limiting beliefs. Of course, once you get in, you forget. But you put them on for size. And as you start to grow, you begin to realize, oops, you know, my parents are not 100% perfect. What does this mean? I don't want it to be so. I want them to be perfect. Sometimes the most imperfect parents, the most dastardly parents, have children who adore them, who have created this fantasy that they are the perfect parents. And many children who do this then believe that something's wrong with them because they're not perfect. And their beliefs get twisted down into shame. And shame will hold you into anything. It will hold you into a limited self-image. It will hold you into a limited belief. It will narrow and block any kind of future and possibilities and potentials and opportunities. that will keep you stuck. Whenever you feel stuck, realize that you can always do more with self-image and belief. Now, how are beliefs created? They're created initially by judgments. The judgments may have been made by your parents, or your parents' parents, or your parents' grandparents, or who knows how far back those judgments might have been made. They may have been judgments between cultures. Religious judgments. My God is the best God. There's only one God, and I know what God it is. This is the only way to get God's favor. You must believe on this God. If you don't, you're betraying your people. You are a sinner, an outcast, an infidel. You are unworthy. You're shameful. You're bad. Well, of course, with all of that garbage held on to a belief, are you going to risk objecting to it when you're a kid? No. You're going to be proud. My God's the best God. Yes. There. Yes. Until you find that you meet somebody else who may have a different idea of God, and they seem to be doing just fine. You scratch your head. There are other people who believe differently. Normally you encounter this when you're a child, because prior to mid-childhood, you have no clue that other people believe anything differently than you. But you learn how to make judgments. You're trained to make judgments. You're trained to judge life as this is the way life is. And your parents and your family and your culture have attitudes about life. This is hard. That's easy. This is tough. That's difficult. That's impossible. And you learn all of these judgments. You learn all of these limits. You learn all your social protocol. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say this. This is the way you're supposed to respond. And you believe if you don't, you're going to be outcast. They're going to look at you funny and think, who are you? So you want to stay within your beliefs, because if you can stay comfortably, happily within those beliefs, you're free. You feel free. But as soon as those judgments begin to limit you, you're not free anymore. And when you make judgments, you make cause and effect choices. If you say, you know, I don't get that much business because the economy is so down. You're blaming the economy on your bad business. It means you're not looking at it and saying, what can I do to increase business? I don't really know right now, but somewhere I'm not allowing good business, more income to come to me. Let me look to find out. Let me see where are my limitations. No, instead, it's much more convenient to say, oh, no, I don't have any limitations. I didn't see them like that. I took a quick scan and I didn't see that I have any limitations. Okay, so it must be something external being done to me. It's that darn economy problem. People don't want to come to see me or to give me money. They don't have as much money anymore. And you can hang out with other people who say the same thing. Does it make it true? Of course not. It is a cause and effect you've put together. The cause is this darn economy. The effect is that I'm not getting enough business or more business. What if it has nothing to do with the economy? What if it's only that you are seeking to find a belief that will validate wherever you are? And you see, that's how beliefs are created. They're judgments that validate wherever you are as being, okay, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm innocent. I'm not to blame. There's nothing wrong with me. It's just that economy. I'm just fine. It's kind of a way to, quote unquote, save face. It's kind of a way to cover up the shame or sense of inadequacy or personal defeat or worry or whatever. Let's make it a cause and effect judgment. There, it's all taken care of. Whew. For a while there, I thought maybe it was a problem with me. But you see, you learn how to do this. And even when, as you grow up and become an adult and you get on a spiritual path and you even learn how to work with your emotions some, it is still tempting to go first to the cause and effect principle. Go first to finding what it is that's out there that's not working, to explain that you're okay. It's the knee-jerk, automatic, subconscious response. And as long as the subconscious response is consistent, it drops down into the unconscious mind. Always goes, it keeps going deeper. And the unconscious mind brings to you a reality that is absolutely, totally consistent with your belief. So if you feel that people don't have enough money to spend on you, what people are you going to meet? People who don't have enough money to spend on you. Are you going to meet the people who have loads of money? No. Because your belief will limit possibility. You have to understand this reality is not actually a linear reality. That's a construct of mind that was put on it by human intention. The age of reason emerged a few hundred years ago. And science. Science as the explanation of how things really are. Science became dominant. That's the full explanation. If we don't know it in science, then it's not valuable. We're explaining the cause and effect of the planet, of every person, of every gene and hormone, blood cell. We're going to explain everything. We're going to explain everything. And then you'll finally know everything and know you're okay. It's kind of a grander version of this personal belief theory. If you get the understanding explanation of everything, life will be good. Yeah, you'll be on top of everything. Yeah, no problem. All okay. I'll be happy. We'll all be happy. We'll all be healthy and happy. If you notice, it doesn't work. Humanity is having more advanced science than ever, going into the greater and greater depth into the secrets of the cells, of the body, of the universe. Is mankind happier? Are people healthier? Beliefs that you cannot hold back free enterprise, or you suppress and repress the people, have been used to rationalize the growth of mega corporations who essentially determine what people have available. Instead of the government, it's just these mega corporations. It determines what the media tells you, determines what beliefs you learn in your schools, your attitudes, your orientations, your understandings are now all twisted and warped by giant corporations. But you see, it's all rational. And any time you do rationalization, you're doing cause and effect belief creation. Anytime you rationalize anything, anytime you try to explain anything, you're going to go back to this age of reason template. You're going to go back to the linear thinking cause and effect template and set into place a more limiting, or to reinforce a current limiting belief. You do this personally, culturally, it's being done globally. Now, once you realize that, realize you can see how many limiting beliefs surround you at any given time, surround the light that you are, giving you boundaries and limitations. You have hundreds upon thousands, perhaps millions of beliefs. Say you've been working at it diligently since you were born. And you know that the way to grow has been to let go of old limiting beliefs, to expand possibility, and to have a freer and more humane and more spiritually oriented belief. When you got on your spiritual path, you embraced that idea. The process of growth and change has always been to let go of the limitation, to know who you are a little bit more, to have compassion for yourself for the limitation that you have suffered, to choose a new, more expanded possibility or potential, and then to step into it and embody it. In other words, bring it into form, bring it into body, bring it into manifestation in the way you live your life. And just as every limiting belief, or a negative belief, if you like to call it that, has this whole context of sub-beliefs and attitudes and orientations around it. Every new belief you choose, any larger concept that you believe, must also have its corollary context. It's like the king and the court. The court is always waiting and there in audience with the king. You want that when you change kings, you want that the audience there is all supportive of the new king. That's why the history of humankind has been rife with violence, that the new leader, the new ruler, will have to eliminate all those who could sabotage his reign. A belief in the saints, a belief change needs to do the same kind of thing. When you have a new belief, you've got to base a lot of your life around it in a different way. You've got to see how it impacts your daily reality with complete and total responsibility. You cannot rationalize or blame anything. If you're going to be free of limiting beliefs, you've got to give yourself permission to not judge anything out there, and, more importantly, not to judge yourself. See, judging yourself will limit you. All of a sudden, bang, your self-image shrinks. And then you can't get anywhere. You're stuck. If your self-image is shrunk and your beliefs are limiting, you're stuck. Then you have to talk yourself back out of it, have to work your way back out of it. How many times have you done that? Have you said, oh, I didn't succeed. Oh, it's my fault. I was so stupid. Ah, I always do that kind of crazy thing. And then you're stuck there. And then you have to think, okay, now, you know, be gentle with yourself. Come on, forgive yourself. Let it go. Let's look at positive life. Let's have some hope. Let's build something new. And you gradually work yourself out of it. Why go to all that trouble, dear one? Recognize the impermanence, the illusion of belief. Yeah, you have to have some. The unconscious mind holds a belief of how, you know, the molecules are held together in furniture and in your body and stuff, so that there are boundaries, so you can see boundaries. The unconscious mind is what runs your body, the autonomic nervous system, the automatic functionings of your body. All the chemical processes are run in your unconscious mind. You could not consciously beat your heart every second. You can't go, okay, beat, 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 beat. Would you have any, you know, chance to do anything else with your life? Because you still also have to say, okay, liver, you got to, okay, stomach, you got to, and blood, you got to circulate now. And you couldn't stay on top of it. So you do rely on some beliefs. Otherwise, you'd walk into walls and fall down and hurt yourself. Now, we want to point out that these beliefs are not real either. They're not really even true either. What you see as a perceive as a physical wall actually has way more space than density. And if you could acknowledge the space within you and the space within the wall, you could walk right through it. But you don't see the space in you or the space in the wall. It's not part of your belief system. And you found it useful to function with a physical plane belief system. We don't suggest changing that right now. That will come, though. It will come to the place to where you can transcend body consciousness. You can transcend what appears to be immutable physical plane laws. You'll be able to transcend gravity. You'll be able to, there are these four forces, the weak force, the strong force. You know those, electromagnetic and gravity. You'll be able to do whatever you will with them. The weak force, you'll be able to just, you know, pull yourself apart and dematerialize. Strong force, you can put together any kind of components and integrate them and make something out of them. You'd be able to create like the Creator, and ultimately you want to go, you're planning to go there. It's part of your journey into physical plane. But right now, you've got to get yourself out of this limiting belief and limiting self-image place where you have the freedom and the flexibility to create new realities for yourself, to create new opportunities, new manifestations. So first of all, the first step to do this is that you must acknowledge that beliefs are illusion. And everything that you think is true may not be. Everything that you rely on as true. This is true. This is real. This is true about me. This is true about people. This is true about life. Even if it's positive. See, there's a temptation to say, oh, I'm just going to let go of the negative ones. But sometimes the positive ones also hold some kind of implied contextual court, contextual attitudes, energies, etc., and realities you don't even know about. You don't even know. If you think all people are really good people, down deep inside, they're really, really great people. This could set in motion a whole complex of attitudes and so forth that says, You can blindly trust anybody now. You don't know all the sub-beliefs and all the attitudes and all the connections that are attached to any belief. So first you have to recognize they're all illusion and start letting them vaporize, letting them be whatever. Just observe them. Start observing them from you, the observer. Oh, I evidently believe this. Interesting. And how does believing that interesting belief, that interesting limitation, or interesting positive affirmation, how does that really play out in my life? What's the impact on me, inside me? Not about other people, whatever they're doing. No, about me, what's inside me. So anytime that you say, I want this, I've been desiring this, I can't seem to get it, I can't seem to manifest it. All right, so I must have some kind of belief and self-image limitation. Let me look at this belief then. Do I have a belief that I am going to get it? I am going to get it. Let me let that one go. Ooh, that's scary. It feels scary. That's like, I'm going to be lost to the negative. Okay, well, what's the negative? That I'll never get it. I don't think I'll ever get it. Now I don't think I'll ever get it. Okay, let that one go. Oh, okay. And you're floating in the void? Yeah, exactly. You've done a mini process of the chaos. You know, we've talked many times about how you have the dark chaos, the old structures, the old forms, the limitations, and you let them go through your growth processes, and then you step into the void where you discover who you are. Claim your divinity, claim your light, and then you can move into the light chaos where you can start to create now new structures, new forms, new experiences, new possibilities. Every growth has this pattern in it. Your whole culture right now is going through it. It's intense. Look at how much you've been growing the past several months. It's been a picking up for the past several years. Accelerating, and it's accelerating, has it not? You don't stop growing. And as you expand a belief and expand your reality and expand your bubble of self-image, you grow faster. Time speeds up. It's not a negative, dear ones, that time has become faster. It's because your perceptions have shifted. There really isn't any such thing as time. It's an illusion anyway. When you get into fifth dimensional consciousness and you look back through fourth dimension, time-space, you'll see that space, spatial arrangements, time, all an illusion. And you'll be able to play with it as a master. But right now, you're in three-dimensional place. You're learning how to bust yourself into freedom. So start with time and space. Just consider for a moment, what if there is no time? What if time does not exist? What if there is no linear reality? What if you have no past or no future? What if you're only a point of light existing right now and you've created this whole play that you call your lifetime with everything that you ascribe to the past and everything that you ascribe to the future? You've got it all lined up. You've made up your whole history. You've made up your whole future possibilities. It's all made up. Right here in this moment, in this second, right now. That's all there is. That's where you start. This is where a lot of people end. But that's where you start, because if you can start putting your mind into that, it'll start confounding your limiting beliefs. It'll start making them get kind of weaker Some of them may start dissolving. What if there's no space? See, use time and space as boundaries. And you're going to bust them. You're heading that direction. Why not go there now and start utilizing it as a force of change for you? What if there are no other people on the planet? What if your consciousness is all that is? It's kind of a bizarre thought, isn't it? Because the limitations of where you are at, you're not seeing the whole universe as one. You're not in total ecstatic bliss every second. But if you're it, then you are God. And you can change and choose what you prefer as your reality. Suddenly it makes your reality way more flexible. And then you can have choice and preference. Rather than having to grow or having to manifest through rational choices. Everybody has this idea that they've got to make logical choices. And if you don't make a logical choice, it's what they call, this is bizarre because we sense it's a very bad use of the English language, but they call it counterintuitive. In other words, they think that the logical choice is intuitive. And this is what would be natural for you. And if you're counterintuitive, then that's odd. It's not supposed to work. Whatever it is that you think of. But what we'd like to suggest is try to look at what it is you would like to have in your life, what you would like to feel in your life, the intangibles of your life. And imagine that there are no steps to getting there whatsoever. Imagine that all you have to do is be there. What would that do to your thinking? If you eliminated all the linear understanding, working and figuring everything out, and figuring out the cause and effect of everything. Okay, I have this health problem. I've got to figure it out. I've got to understand the cause, and I've got to understand the steps I need to take to heal. What if that's all an illusion? What if you could feel and know, just know within yourself, know something without any kind of rationale to it, without any judgments placed on it? What if you could just know that you could heal right now if you chose to? But most of you believe that you can't heal right now if you chose to. What's the difference between those two beliefs? Nothing. It's your choice. That's it. So the way to work with beliefs is to dissolve them all and then choose the ones that you think will be the most freeing. And from the most freeing one, choose the contexts. That new choice, that's the king. The new king. The new ruler. The new authority. And now, what's the court going to look like that attends upon this new authority? Knowing, even as you do it, that there will come a time where this new belief you are choosing, which seems to be at the furthest, stretchest, most creative, most free boundaries you can possibly give yourself, will eventually become a wall and a limitation, and you'll have to just let it go. Knowing that you are playing with belief, you're playing with your choices, you're finding your preferences, and that's it. If you find an actual negative belief, We did a workshop called Money Magic, and we gave people two pages of limiting beliefs about money. And people were going through it and going, check, 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 check. You know, it's nearly impossible to go down that list and do a belief change process for the whole thing. Why not just dissolve belief? And then say, okay, now I'm just going to put my energy and intention into the ones I choose. It takes away a lot of the struggle. Now, you did at one point have to go through all of the struggle to let go of every little piece. That was actually part of the template of change you came to work with. So the more that you've processed about things and feelings and thoughts and beliefs and orientations and old choices that you've made and old pathways and old storyline that you have and self-image and blah, 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 all the stuff that you've learned about is valuable. Don't, you know, throw it out. But recognize you're coming to a place now to where you can make great leaps in your perception. And you can do that really fast at this point by dissolving belief, by just starting to look at beliefs as not being true and catching yourself every time you try to establish some belief about something or make a judgment or have an opinion about something. And in your mind, as you say, you know, you can't just go through life without any opinions or without any choices. No, what you do is that you say, this is arbitrary. This is not a real truth that I'm going to create now, that I'm going to adhere to. This new belief, this new expanded reality, this is not true now. This is not real. I'm just choosing it because it feels fun to me. It feels lighter. It feels happier. It feels freer. And that's kind of what I prefer right now. See how much easier it can be. There are certain beliefs that are core beliefs that sometimes require a tremendous amount of deep work. The core belief is always, as we mentioned earlier, is always embedded with shame. Shame is that ultimate separation from the divine. That's the smallest self-image place you can go to. That's the most restricted, restrained, limited, tiny self-image place you can go to. And in that most limited, tiny self-image place, you'll also find the most limited, most restrictive, most imprisoning belief. The belief will be about you. So if you really want to bust some beliefs, go there. Head dive right down in there. Find the worst belief you have about yourself as being the total no good, weak, incompetent, failure, miserable, unworthy, scum. Separate from the divine, abhorred and judged by God as being unworthy, the most evil, unholy place in you. If there's evil in the world, it's all part of your creation. There's a belief. You've created it. You've created good and evil, right and wrong. You've created polarities, and you've created all of this as a way of limiting and creating boundaries in the duality. Duality is required for creation. But you really loaded it down. Duality is male and female dancing together in ecstasy to create new life. You see that in the physical form. It takes some sperm and an egg to get together, create a new life. That's That's it. If you put any judgment on male or judgment on female, now you've messed the whole thing up. Now you're stuck in duality. You're not using it. You're not enjoying it. You're not celebrating. You're not playing with it. You're not growing with it. You're not discovering and creating with it, which is what you came to do. So what we're going to do in a little bit, we're going to go down into that core. And you're going to find the most wretched part of you. And we're just going to dissolve it. Dissolve the belief around that. And then dissolve all the beliefs that are attached to that, that have fed your life's struggles, your life's pains, your life's sufferings and limitations, which were its attendants, the court in attendance to this authoritative king core belief. All right, so for now, we'd like to answer a question or two.
Hi, Glexus.
Hello.
Glexus, I'm trying to find a belief, a very core belief, that has to do with me and relationship, because I haven't had the relationship that I've wanted in my whole 50-something years. And I think it stems back to early years when I used to get severely punished by my mom. And so is there a relationship between those two that's keeping me from creating and attracting the relationship that I want?
Oh, absolutely. Because you've got a core belief in there that something's wrong with you. That was what your mother beat into you. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that something wrong with you means that no matter what, you're going to get hurt. Okay? And when the core belief of that expands into, I'm going to get hurt, I'm going to get punished if I'm not perfect, if my behavior's not right, I'm going to get hurt again. Because my mother, who I thought loved me unconditionally, that's the assumption that all children make, hurt me. It must be my fault, and I must have done something wrong. I must have been something not right. And therefore, I can look at any kind of relationship and realize it's not going to turn out all that well. Any relationship, particularly with a woman, but you can actually find examples of this in any relationship with a man, with a business partner, with anybody. That eventually you're going to get rejected, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get punished. It's going to be painful and you're going to feel really, really horrible about yourself. Or you'll do a compensation in which you'll blame them and say, no, it's not, I'm really fine and I'm not going to look at, you know, any of that and it's not fair and it's their fault and that kind of thing, which is what you go through in later childhood and adolescence. And then it can go into a sense of a life drama or storyline in which every relationship goes through this whole cycle and I have to go through this cycle over and over and over again. And that's all the context that's built up on it. So go to the core, which the core says, I'm unworthy of love.
That's the belief there.
Yeah, that's the core belief. Somewhere in there, I screw it up. I always do. And then I get punished and hurt. You see what we're saying?
Yeah.
This is how it expands. From the core belief that you're unworthy. The core belief that there's something wrong with you. You're bad. That's a shame core. That's where you get stuck. And that's where everyone gets stuck in every area of their life where they have any problems. You can go right back to that core and it's the core plus all the attendants. All the attendant beliefs and that are co-beliefs and sub-beliefs and attitudes and orientations and storylines and dramas and everything just gets added and built and built and built and built and built. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So just go in there, all of you. You all have that core. Just play with it for a minute. Just go into your core and just take away all that that bluff and all that posturing and all the facade that you put on there, that you're a good person. No, no, I'm a good person. I really try hard and I'm really caring and I really put out and to change and grow and da-da-da-da-da. Take all of that off, you know. Go back down to some place where when you were a child, you felt like crap. There was nothing. Your life was nothing. It was bleak. And every one of you had a moment like that. And if you didn't, you can, if you don't remember it, let's say that, because you've all had it. But if you don't remember it, make it up right now. Unadorned. Just go back to the core. I'm unworthy of being valued. I'm unworthy of being loved. I'm worth nothing. I'm a pile of crap. My life is worthless. I'm not worth saving. I'm bad, wrong, flawed, damaged goods. It's terminal. It's terminal. This whatever this is that's wrong with me, it's terminal. It's there. It's all my whole life. Underneath, there's always been this screw-up. Always been this weak person. It doesn't feel good. Can you feel how you shrink? Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Can you feel that when you're there, your self-image is way down? You feel small. Now, when you were a child, you felt helpless and powerless, scared. You had no idea how to respond to it. But you realize you actually, by choice, those of you who did this little experiment with us, by choice, you actually went down there and you have survived. Congratulations. Because you... Actually, you know somewhere inside you. You actually know. Right now, you know you're not that. It's not a belief you're holding that you're not that. Okay? There's just some part of you that just knows you are not that little tiny worm. Do you get that? You all get that? The part of you that really knows you're more. And that somehow or another, the experience of being there and having chosen that was the option you thought you had to take at some point. It was the belief you had to assume. You couldn't figure any other option out. You didn't know any other option. You weren't given any other possibility but that.